Father, we thank you as we share again this morning. Bless everyone that's here. Let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable before thee, O Lord, our Redeemer. And let the entrance of your word bring light and understanding into our lives. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, this series has been about overcoming adversity. And through it all, where we stand as we go through, the Lord has given us incredible promises to encourage us, to enable us, and strengthen us through whatever we might be facing. Look back in the past and see how God has delivered us. The scripture says, thanks be unto God who has delivered us from so great a death, who doth deliver and who will yet deliver. So that's our confidence. And no matter what we may be facing or going through at the moment, you know, or yet to come, we know the Lord is there with us. Cast away, therefore, not your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. The Lord said we shouldn't cast that away because we know that he is faithful who has promised. And it is the Lord thy God that doth go with you. He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. Therefore, don't be weary as you go through. The Lord has promised us the victory. In fact, we know that the end is assured. I mean, we're assured victory at the end. We have that confidence. So we want to encourage everyone. This series was about encouraging us and making us realize that there's ups and downs. There are always ups and downs in life. We can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. Neither will you remain in the valley. You know, you will experience the mountains and the valleys and all of that, you know, but we must be focused on overcoming adversity. There's other ways also even to prevent some adversities that we can prevent. Daily contact with the Lord prevents snares. That's right. We can prevent some snares of the devil by engaging the Lord daily. And we know that some things may not be preventable, but through it all, we have the victory. And as we look back every day after each victory, and we think of what God has done in the past, and the victory that we have now, we celebrate that as well, and we look forward to the future. And even if this season is a moment of going through, well, let's also remember what he has done in the past. And let's remember his promises also, that there is coming a brighter outlook, even for tomorrow, as it is written in the words of Psalm 30 and verse 5. You may be going through a night season at the moment, because the Bible says that. But he said that sorrow will not last forever. Maybe for one night, but joy is coming in the morning. And so we've talked about all those various things. And then towards the end, we talked about, you know, the rewards that God gives, you know, when we persevere. You know, blessed is the man that endureth trials and temptations, for when he tried, you know, and he comes for the Lord said, you know, he'll bring you forth as pure gold. The Lord knows the way I take, for he will purify me as pure gold. And then also a promise of the crown of life, you know, for those that overcome. And then we went into the overcomer's rewards. Let's see how that may apply, not only for the life to come, the kingdom to come, but even now, we begin to see how we can apply those promises to our lives. We also talked about the promises of God for throughout the Bible can also be regarded as rewards for keeping the conditions that are associated with those promises. So every promise wherein the Lord said, if you do this, then the Lord will do something. We can also consider that God's action based on you doing your part be a reward for you doing your part. So we see there are many, many rewards in the Bible. And Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, bringing my reward with me to give unto every man according as his work shall be. And the Lord is the one that gives reward. We must look to the Lord for reward, not to others and not the reward of men. The Lord spoke against the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, and the people that are just carrying on, always looking, you know, for glory from men. The Lord said, well, you have your reward in that case. But, you know, if you patiently wait for the reward of the Lord, then that is greater. And so we've talked about many, many things throughout this series. I want to just, you know, have people share on any aspects of this series that you may have, that may have been impactful on you throughout this series. We covered 8 days of that series. And this is day 9. Now we're going through a summary, series summary right now. So, and if you, you had some things to share, but you couldn't for whatever reason, you were at work, there wasn't enough time in the room, etc., etc. Well, now is your opportunity to do that. We're going to allow today's room to be just about that. So we encourage everybody to share. If you're in the audience, we invite you to use the hand raising button, which has the bottom right corner of your screen. As you tap on that, it will indicate that you raise your hand, and someone will bring you to the stage. If you are already on stage, you have your mic. If you would like to share, just go ahead, and just begin to speak. If someone else is trying to speak at the same time, one person may yield and then wait your turn. But there's going to be opportunity for everybody to share today. One of the incredible promises to go away with is the final one that he gave in Revelation 21. And talks about, you know, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. It's similar to Revelation 3:21 is similar to Revelation 21:7. Revelation 3:21 says, he that overcometh, you know, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even also as I overcame, and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. Then he finishes it all off with this amazing promise in Revelation 21:7 and says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So men and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, that's my brief portion today. I'm going to turn it over. The majority of this room will be yours. Your portion to share and to speak. We want to give everybody an opportunity to do that. So if you are ready to share, you will have a chance to do that this morning. Thank you for listening and thank you for being here. Again, welcome everyone to the room and God bless you as you share. I am going to yield my mic. I'm going to come back at the end also and I might have one or two words that I want to present, but I want to just step back this morning and let others share first. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's it from here. If you would like to share, you may do so at this time. We've got done a long series, and I'm sure there were several things that were of note to you. Go ahead and share with us that we all may learn from that as well. Good morning. Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. The series that you have taught us over the last 8 days has helped to build in all of us wisdom for the trials of life that we go through. And one of the things that, a few things I pulled from that was that some of the trials are as a result of our own doing, things that we may have done or caused, even, sins committed. And then another could be that God is allowing the trial to work his permissive will to purge our life of something, or also to have us to lean and rely on him. So I would say God allows our trials in those cases and in all where his permissive will is to test our faith. And it's made perfectly clear in James 1:3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The word testing here means to be tested and found proven. That is, God is testing our faith in order to prove its strength. And unproven, untried faith is practically worthless. You don't know that it's faith at all. How do you know what you can face in life if your faith has not been tested, right? And so 1 Peter 1:6-7 explains this valuable aspect. It says that in this you greatly rejoice. You have been distressed by trials so that the proof of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the second testing of our faith produces spiritual maturity, and that leads to endurance. And this enables us to withstand any assault, no matter what form the trial takes. Being treated or being tested by God, it helps to strengthen us so that we can face trial after trial and endure. And secondly, God allows our trials in order to test our devotion to Jesus, because true devotion demands that we follow Jesus faithfully, regardless of our circumstances. The question is, will you obey him when you do not understand? And when bad things happen, will you obey him when things are not going your way, when things are not making sense? These are the times that we self-reflect to determine and see what is in us, if we are true followers of God. And then thirdly, God allows our trials in order to purify our lives. Trials have a way of putting pressure on us in the most secret places of our being, those hidden sins or habits and areas of neglect, so to speak. And then fourthly, our trials give God an opportunity to demonstrate his sustaining power for us, his children, in tough times. And there are amazing testimonies in the Bible, and I've heard them here in this room of those of us, and myself included, who've shared moments in time in our life that have been we couldn't see our way out, but coming out and being on the other side and looking back, we see where the hand of God was evident every step of the way. And then I'll say that our trials equip us for service in the kingdom of God for the sake of others. 2 Corinthians 1:4 makes this point clear. It says God that is comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Therefore, God is using our trials to make us more useful in helping others. And by fully understanding and identifying with someone else's pain, so that we're able to reach out and pull them and show them the way, and to be able to testify and even decree and declare and prophesy as the Holy Spirit will lead us over their life to let them know you too will make it. You too will be healed. You too will be delivered. So, I thank you for this series, and I'll just wrap with this. I've just, you know, made some just main bullet points that we must be persuaded that God is in control of the timing and intensity of our trials. Secondly, we must realize that God has a specific purpose for each trial. Thirdly, we must understand that each trial is designed to meet a specific need that God sees in our lives. Fourthly, we must accept that each trial is going to result in our own good if we respond in faith. And also fifth, we must discover how each trial can strengthen our faith, and proving that we can depend on the Lord for all of our needs. And sixth, we must rejoice in that each trial is an opportunity for God to demonstrate his power to sustain us under tremendous pressure. And seventh, we must admit or submit ourselves to the development of Christ-like character that results from our trials. And then eighth, we must take advantage of our trials' usefulness in measuring our spiritual growth. So, for example, we may realize that we are capable of handling a powerful hardship that would have otherwise crippled us a year or two ago or earlier. So we develop strength. We develop that spiritual muscle. And this is because our continuing trials have taught us that God will indeed empower us to prevail. And then ninth, we must be convinced that God will walk with us through every step of the trial. And then 10th, we must have faith that God, by his grace and enabling power of his Holy Spirit, he will strengthen us, and that we will survive, and that we will conquer each trial. And I'll just close with this example in my life. I've spoken many times of how my faith was increased with the birth of my daughter, Aria. You know, it wasn't, unfortunately, a perfect pregnancy. It ended early. It ended, she came 3 months early. And it caused, a lot of upset in my life, because I ended up on bed rest, back February 11th, 1999. Her due date was not supposed to be until May 16th, 1999. But, I guess she had other plans. But I'll never forget when I was in the hospital, they told me the entire time I would have to lie in the Trendelenburg position. And for those who are not familiar with that, that's when they have your bed on a tilt and your head is toward the floor and your feet are toward the ceiling. They pivot the bed in that way so that your amniotic fluid that I had that was left, that she would survive in that, and it would hopefully prolong the pregnancy. But it was one morning I was up reading my Bible and studying. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning and she was on a monitor, and all of a sudden I could not hear her heartbeat. And so I called for the nurse. I rang for the nurse and she came in. And she couldn't detect the beat. She called for backup nurses. They couldn't detect. And then they called for the doctor that was, on call, and he came in and said, you're going to have an emergency C-section stat. So, it was like the room went into a frenzy, and I just, the only thing I knew to do was to pray. No one was there with me. And again, this was 3 o'clock in the morning, and the doctor, my regular doctor, couldn't make it to the hospital because it was snowing. It was icy outside. So there I was, left in the hands of a doctor who had not treated me. And only thing I could do was rest as a God, you've got this. And so when I, the next day when I awoke after the procedure and they told me she was born 1 pound and 15 ounces. That she was on, they had to intubate her, that she was on a ventilator, that she would not be able to walk, that she would not be able to possibly run, you know, if there was that ability to eventually walk, she would never be able to run, like other children or play. She may have, speech delays. And it was just, I was just, my world was upside down. And, it was my mother though, who was so calm. And she said, Tammy, that's my nickname. She said, this is a test of faith. We're not going to give up. We're going to pray. That's what we do. We're a praying family. And then the greatest moment, one of the greatest moments came that night. I got the call from Northside Hospital. It was about midnight and I was at my mother's home and they called to say I needed to get to the hospital fast because she was not expected to survive the night. And so I went into my mother's room crying and she was in there writing on a sheet of paper. I'll never forget. I still have that image now. She was writing furiously as I was telling her the hospital had just called and they didn't expect Aria to make it through the night. And she handed me the sheet of paper. She said, take this. You go to her isolette, which was her bedside. Pray this prayer. She said, trust God. Again, a test of your faith. And I said, are you going to
What happened to her?
Sorry. We lost you. We lost you.
She's no longer here.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll wrap with this. So at that,
when your mother was handing you the letter.
Yes. So she handed me the letter and she told me to take it to the isolette and to pray. And so when I got to the hospital, Aria's dad was there. And so was his father. So I went in immediately to the isolette. I prayed the prayer and then I folded the paper and I put my hands on her isolette and I said, God, this is the big one. If you do this for me, I will promise you, I will tell everyone how it happened. You alone will get the glory. Those were my exact words. God, this is the big one. If you do this for me, I will tell everyone how it happened. You alone will get the glory. And so I went back out and there was, unfortunately, you know, a battle between myself and her father because his dad, being a doctor also, was leaning on what the doctors were saying. And that was that there was no chance of survival. So there was that decision on whether to disconnect life support. And so her dad stood on one side of the decision, but I stood on the opposite side. And I said to the doctor that was standing there with us and with the nurse, if you disconnect her life support, I will sue you. And so I left and went back home. And the next morning, as the hospital always calls to give you the update on the patient, on the baby, there was a Dr. Saul Adler who called me. Now, Dr. Adler, I had seen during my time in the NICU. Dr. Adler was the key doctor. He started the NICU at Northside Hospital here in Atlanta. And so he was the one that called that morning, which it jarred me at first because I was like, oh my God. And so, but when he called, he said, is this Miss Shelton? I said, yes. He said, I've called to give you the report as we always do. And his voice was very low and very slow in speaking. And he said, I just want you to know that your daughter, and he paused. He said, she survived the night. He said, that lets me know she is a fighter. Now he was Jewish. And so he did not use the word miracle, that he did not say that a miracle had occurred. He just said she survived the night and that I'm taking over I'm taking over her care. I'm going to bring in another, team of doctors to work with me. He said, and one thing I want you to know, he said, in case you didn't know, he said, Black female premature babies have the highest survival rate. He said their survival rate is higher than white females, white males, and even black males. He said, it's the female. He said, and your daughter has shown us that she is a fighter. And so I leave that with you because here we are 25 years later, and I'm so grateful to God. I would not have planned to a pregnancy to end to result as mine did, but I will say through it all, and I saw the hand of God. He revealed to me that He is real, that He could hear, that He heard me, and He did answer prayer, because my daughter today is healthy, is strong. We have a few issues with colds, but outside of that, she's walking, she's running. She graduated with honors from college. So He is a miracle working God. So for anyone that's listening, that's dealing with the illness, I tell you this, I share my faith. He will not disappoint. And I just encourage you also, as you are led spiritually, one of the things I've started doing of late, only as I'm led, not that it will become legalistic in any ways, but I take communion as the Spirit leads. And it's just a simple cracker and also maybe grape juice. And it could be something as simple as the body of Christ and I eat and the blood of Christ and I drink. My daughter and I, we do that regularly. She does it on her own even now. So I leave that with you. And Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to speak, to share that testimony. As I told you that day at the Isolette, this is the big one. You do this for me. I will tell everyone how it happens. You alone will get the glory. Heavenly Father, I thank you also that when Aria was chosen to be the poster child for the March of Dimes and pressures were put on me, Father, to give glory or to speak of the power of medicine, how it healed her. I spoke partially, but I yielded to you in the midst of my speech, even though it upset people at the end. But I was perfectly aligned with what I told you. I pledged to you that day at her Isolette that I would give you the glory. So Father, I thank you also that that glory continues and that it will strengthen those who are here today and those that will listen to the replay. And I yield my mic.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, wow, wow. What a testimony. Every time you see this testimony of your daughter's survivor, you bring in another angle. You give us another revelation of how it happened, how God delivered you, how God sustained you, and how God answered your prayer, and what you have pledged to the Lord. You know, simple pledge that, Lord, I will let everyone know that you did it. You did it and how you did it. So we thank God for your life and for this child. It was for this purpose that God has sustained her, you know, and recovered her life, that it may take the glory, and the glory belongs to him. All the glory and the honor and the majesty be ascribed to his name. Thank you so much, sister, for sharing with us. God bless you. And we really love you, and we love your daughter, Ariel. And we pray that the Lord will keep her stronger and stronger every day. Father, we just lift up your daughter, Ariel, and her mother, Sister Renita, into your hands. Even as she begins to, even as she speaks of the goodness of the Lord, Father, we pray for a blessing upon their lives, Father, that you meet them at the point of their needs. We pray, Lord, that you give them opportunity to come here to Arizona so that we can meet them and be blessed again. Thank you, Lord, for this woman of God. Father, thank you for has been a powerful tool in the house, in the hands of the Lord, in the prayer room and here in this hour of power. Thank you so much, Sister Renita. And God bless you. And God bless each and every one of us in Jesus' name. And should anybody hear this testimony of the deliverance, of the great power of the Lord, that they will know that with God, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't give in. Even when the medical people say this one thing, you know the God that you have believed in, that he is able to do abundantly above all that you can think or imagine. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Anybody else have any testimony concerning, you know, the greatness of the Lord? Any testimony whatsoever? Maybe a review, a time of the...
Sister Baraka was about to speak at the same time that Sister Renita.
Okay. All right, Sister Baraka, go ahead. God bless you.
Good morning, Pastor Atoma Mayabon. Good morning, everybody in the room. It's just been an amazing series, timely, needed, edifying. I just wanted to introduce my cousin Sue, and I apologize. I was at work yesterday when you were asking. So this is my cousin. She's my first cousin, but we grew up like sisters, so I'm going to say that she's my sister. And I invited her to the room. We're looking to be fed So I'm just, you know, I'm praying on, you know, how to minister to my family, to bring them here and to just lead them to Christ. Sister Sue is what I would call the breach or the repair of the breach in our family. We grew up in a Muslim home, as I stated, a lot of dysfunction. And it was actually, she was the first one who Christ touched to turn her heart towards Christ. And through her prayers, and God used her to bring me to Christ. So this is my cousin, my spiritual mom, the one who I turn to. And I just pray that God continues to use her as she continues interceding for the family to bring her siblings and even my siblings to Christ. So I just wanted to make that introduction first. And then I wanted to talk about this overcoming series. Sister Renita, first of all, just thank you so much for that testimony. Your testimony is power. I see the power. I was just talking to Sister Sue last night, and she asked me, she said, do you know what testimony is for? And I'm like, yeah, to encourage others. So we're talking about it. And, you know, I am so encouraged by hearing your testimony. And of course, I think not only for me, but it helps other people also think about how God is working in them. And I have told this story before, and this will be my continued testimony. And it's ongoing. And I just have just another testimony to add to it. And I think most people have heard already that when I finished undergrad, I got married, I had my son. I always wanted to go to medical school. But because we only have a few medical schools in Canada, I didn't even try. I just sort of went to work and I said, you know what, maybe I'll go do my master's or something. And we were driving in the car, and actually Sister Sue was in that car. And I just stopped and I said, I'm going back to medical school. I wasn't even saved. The Holy Spirit literally put it into my heart for me to declare that. That's something I would never have declared. I had my son, he was 2. I was married. I have no money. You know, my credit was bad. So it's like, how on earth would I even, but the Holy Spirit dropped that into my heart and I declared it with my mouth. And this was, I believe, in spring or maybe early winter. And a few months later, I was accepted to medical school. When I went to church that day with my husband, as I said, I wasn't really a Christian. I was just going. I got up and I said, God, when I was applying, I said, God, you know, if you give this to me, I will get up and I'll testify. And that was the first time that I got up in front of the church and I was crying. I couldn't even get the words out. I said, look what God has done for me. And when I finish, I'm still going to testify. And he, you know, the story is long. He carried me through my grades. You know, I never had those grades in any other, in undergrad, in high school, in college, but you know, 4.0, I had 3 kids in, you know, 1 kid in medical school, 2 in residency. He just carried me through. And on my graduation, which Sister Sue threw for me, you know, everybody's like, wow, Barakat, like, you're so great. You're so amazing. And all I can do is just give glory to God, you know. And I have this verse here. It's Zechariah 4:6. And it says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And all I can do, all my mouth, you know, I just pray that his praise be forever on my lips. There's no glory in whatever has been accomplished. There's no glory that I can take because I didn't do it. And I tell this all the time and people don't understand. Even as I was standing there giving glory to God on my graduation, I can see their faces. Like, they just don't understand. They can't understand how, like, wow, look, you did this, you did that. And I'm saying, it's not me. By what power? If it's me, I wouldn't even have gone. So I just give glory to God continually. My last testimony here, and I won't take up too much time, is that some people know I'm doing my fellowship. I'm about 2 hours away from home. And it's only a year, so July to July. And I've been doing this drive back home maybe like 2 or 3 times a week, spending a lot of money to rent an apartment here. And, you know, it's just been a lot of stress on my family. This is why I drive a lot, because I'm either, you know, coming home or going to work. So as I said, money's been tight. We're paying rent in 2 places. And I've been praying like for a solution, like how am I going to survive till I actually start working. You know, you don't get paid a lot as a fellow. I have 4 kids and we're paying rent. And, you know, the Holy Spirit put it into my, you know, into my heart. And he said, give up this apartment, do the drive. I'll sustain you. which was insane at that time. You know, I couldn't even fathom it. And I'm like, I'm in a lease. How am I going to get out of this lease? I'm telling you, as soon as I accepted, okay, God, I'm going to do this. Boom, boom, boom. I was out of that lease. And within less than a month, I had moved out. So now I'm driving to work every day, 2 hours in the morning. I leave at 5:30. I come back at night, 2 hours. But I have my children see me every day now. I'm at peace. You know, we're not spending extra money. Even the money on gas is not as much as I was paying for rent. And I have people at my workout because they heard I'm driving. They're literally sitting me down and they're saying, Beck, is everything okay? Like, they can't understand it. They're like, how can you drive 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours? They're like, is it a money problem? Like, can I help you? Like, what can I do? And my spirit is just saying, not by my might nor by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Like, I just want to scream it. Like, don't you know who my father is? Like, this is not me. Like, it doesn't make sense to you, but it just, I can't, to me, it makes perfect sense. But then it brings me back to when I doubted, you know? So it's like, they're doubting. And I'm like, but how can you doubt? But then I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, but I was doubting too before. So God is once again using this to get his glory. He gets glory in everything. It's not by my might, and he'll take me through. I have 4 more months, and I'm going to drive every day, 4 hours, and he's going to empower me to do it, and he's going to get the glory. So thank you, you know, for inspiring me, Sister Anita, to say that testimony. And you know, he will always get the glory, always get the glory. Look at what he's doing. I'm studying for an exam. I have 4 children. I have financial responsibilities, this is that. But none of that matters because nothing of my situation matters. It's all, you know, it's God who is seeing me through. So I just saying this testimony once again to give him glory for what he's doing. In my situation, he'll get the glory. When it's hard, he'll get the glory. In the victory, he'll get the glory. In the process, he'll get the glory. And thank you so much. So God bless you all here, my man.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hallelujah. Sister Baraka, that is a wonderful testimony. And we are going to lift you up because you have given all the glory and all the honor unto him. I can see what you're talking about when you say, you know, it's not by your power, it's not by your might that God is doing that. And you cannot even claim anything because, and none of us should be able to claim anything, you know, looking at it, because it is the Lord that give us the power to do anything, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Even in our education, you know, God will strengthen you as you drive back and forth, and we're going to lift you up in this room, that this good God that have started the good work in you will help you to finish, to finish strong. So before we do that, I'll just say a little word of to tell you a little bit also. You know, I can see what you're saying. You know, when I gave a testimony of how I went to school, and I wasn't planning to get masters. You say, I'm just satisfied if I just get my first degree and boom, I'm done. You know, I thought. And lo and behold, they gave us extra credits, like 12 credits towards your master's. So, and the Lord said, take it. I said, I'm going to do it. He said, I will sustain you. And the Lord did. The Lord sustained me. I don't even know. It's when you say the Lord is the one doing it, you'll be like you are just, you're just moved by some, you know, by the Spirit of God, whatever you're doing, you know. And the Lord did. He sustained me. And even though I got a 4.0 GPA, I don't know. I said, it's not me that did it. It's not me. So I couldn't brag and say, no, I cannot say anything. Because I know the Lord did it. It's not by my power. It's not by my might. God did it all for me. It's not because of my, I can read, you know, my own, I'm not the type that read one time and get everything. I can read something 3-4 times before I get it. But it's the Lord that sustained me and, you know, just gave me that, you know, I can say, oh yeah, I have straight A in my classes. You know, when you see my resume or you see my Something said, wow, you're smart. No, I'm not. It's the Lord. The Lord is smart. So praise the Lord. So I could see what you're saying. And I could associate with that, because when the Lord does it, you know, it takes all the glory and all the honor. Amen. So let's just lift up our sister in prayer, Sister Barakat, that the Lord will continue to sustain her. It's a lot to drive 4 hours every day. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we just lift up our Barakat.
I thank you, Lord God Almighty, for what you have in future. Lord, your word tells us that it is your will, O Lord, that we prosper and be in health, even our souls was open. I thank you, Father, Lord, for your daughters. Thank you, Father, because we can see you living from the end. I thank you, Lord, for the end from the beginning. I thank you for what you have done. I thank you for victory on every side. But I'm committing to your hands as children, as academics, as orphans. Father, we thank you, whatever is going on in your hands, you are able to keep on living. Thank you, because you are able to keep on living. You have called through everything. And amen. I thank you for being with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless them in your name. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your daughter. We thank God. We thank God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We pray. We thank you, Sister Barakat and Sister Renita, for your testimony. I sent your cousin, Sister Sue, an invite. She came up to the stage, so we want to welcome her. Welcome, Sister Sue. God bless you. You can just tap on your mic button and it will open up and you may speak. You want to welcome you. Go ahead.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Mama Eba. Barakat, you brought me to tears. But you know what? All glory be to God. To say I am proud of Barakat is an understatement. I have known that girl since she was not even 2 years old. She is, to see her growth, not just as a mother, wife, but most of all, her walk with Christ. And I remember the early days, and I sometimes just sit down and I'm in awe of the work and the transformation that God has done in her life, and to see that she's just so much in love with God and so dedicated and so hungry for the word of God. I say, God, thank you, because she said, we are from Muslim family. My father was the imam of where we are from in Nigeria. We are from Auchi. And so to see that, you know, to become a Christian, it's not a small thing. And it was long, you know, many years of prayers. And I always say, God, I will not leave this earth without seeing you moving through this family. And then she said, day by day, I could just see the growth, and I just give God thanks. And she invited me to this group, and she said, Sue, I know, and she was like, just try it out. You might like it, because she knows I'm very particular about the type of pastors I listen to. I'm not swayed by big names or fancy auditoriums. All I want is a pastor who knows the word of God, who has discernment and wisdom. And Pastor, after yesterday, I messaged her. I said, oh my goodness, it was so refreshing to hear a pastor not just teach, but back up everything he says with a scripture and the verse and the book of Revelation, and a lot of pastors shy away from that book. So I was thoroughly, thoroughly fed yesterday morning before I started work. And as you mentioned, we touched base again last night, just talking about the benefits. The Bible says God daily loads us with his benefit, but you have to be tuned into him. You have to be connected to him. As New Testament believers, our promises, the Bible says, yes, they are yea and amen, but they are also conditional. They must be obedient. And she is, she's very obedient, and I do my best to be an obedient servant of God. And also yesterday, I want to thank Sister Renata. I think that's her name, Renita Renata. Sorry if I mispronounce it. And your testimony today really touched me. And I just thank God that I was able to hear it. I have two sons. I'm not going to be too long. Both of them have special needs. To say that, to say that it's been challenging is, you know, it's an understatement, but God has been faithful. I was told my older son will never be able to read, but this boy can read, is going to college in a modified program. And when people ask me, how did you get him to read? Because the schools couldn't do it. My response to them is, do you really want to know? They will say, yes. I said, okay. I use the Bible to teach him to read. They will have a puzzled look on their face. What do you mean? You mean the real Bible? I say, yes, the real Bible. Because the schools couldn't do it. The psychiatrist and psychologist told me, should be happy he can speak, but don't expect him to ever be able to read. And I wonder, I said, God, you can do anything. This is nothing. What am I missing? God said, you have my word, but you haven't used it. And I said, oh my goodness. Okay. So I still remember very well. We went through the book of Romans, one chapter a day, and we would sit down, we would talk about it. We would place his hand under every word. And within 6 months, this boy was reading. And my younger one, they told me, don't ever expect him to speak because he has autism. And once you score more than 80% on the scale, they stop counting. And he scores more than 80%. This boy, not only does he read and speak, he knows better English than I do. And God, I'm still praying for God to bring them full recovery because I know he can do it. So God is so, when I hear your testimony this morning, I said, God, thank you for that. Because it means I can keep praying with expectation that I will see my children walk into the promises that God has for his children. And I thank this platform, and I am going to do my best to come on. I stay on as long as I can because my work, I have to sometimes go into meetings, so I might leave early. But thank you, Pastor, for having this platform. Thank you for having that teaching spirit to be able to teach others in a way that they can understand. Thank you, Mama Ebon, because I know, you know, Baraka was telling me a little bit yesterday how this platform came to be. And thank you both for the dedication and the willingness to feed others and pour of yourselves out so others can be fed and get to know God and, you know, move up in their walk with God. Not everyone is willing to make that sacrifice, even if they know it's a calling. But thank you for making the sacrifice. God bless you and your family, and continue to grow your ministry in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Welcome, Sister Sue. A powerful share.
Amen.
To have you here. And what's your son's name? I want to pray for you.
The older one is Aliyu, and the younger one is Camille.
And who's the one that's dealing with the
Both of them speak, but the younger one, Camille, has autism. The older one, Aliyu, has developmental delays, which is more neurological.
All right, well, let's believe God that this will be a turning point.
Amen.
You know, I also realized that, well, it's the first day, you know,
the first day of the third month here. You know, so every time there is a first day, it's almost like a new thing. You know, it's almost like a new thing. So, let me, you know, use that to pray, for your children. How old are they?
Aliyu is 21 and Camille is 19.
Okay. Well, we thank God for, you know, the entire time that the Lord has sustained them. And yes, of course, testimonies such as Sister Renita's, you know, those kind of things really, they really uplift and they give us, you know, they give us hope for those of us who may be facing, you know, situations as well. You know, so, you know, the word of the Lord for us on a day such as this is that we, you know, through the testimonies of many people, that we might have a strong consolation and hope, those of us who have run to the Lord to believe him, we might have this consolation that believing in him will bring us to what we are trusting him for. And so we're going to pray for your sons, you know, that the Lord is going to perfect the goodness of the Lord in them. They thank God that they can speak and understand. It's only going to get better. You just wait and see. It's only going to get better. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for our sister Sue. And thank you for her sons, Aliyu and, did you say Camille? What's the, I remember Aliyu. What's the other one?
Camille. Yes.
Pray for Aliyu and Camille on here this morning. Actually, I want the room. Go ahead, open your mics and pray. I will round up at the end. Let's open our mouths and pray.
Hallelujah.
Use them as a point of faith to come against the spirit of autism. And if anyone has that in their families, we come against that today in the name of Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for this young man, Lord, and thank you for your glory, Lord, your hand that's upon them and this good work that you have done in their lives to bring glory to your name. Father, perfect it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anything that is still residual in there, Lord, Father, we command it, come out of them and return not again, and that they will be perfect in speech, perfect in understanding, in the name of Jesus. For others that may be in the room, that may have people in their families with that condition as well, we pray the glory of God to break through that in Jesus' name. The power of the Lord being present to heal today. We ask, O God Almighty, as we believe together, the bands of believers in this room coming together in the name of the Lord, shattering the gates of brass and breaking the bars of iron, cutting us under the chains in the name of Jesus, and saying to the Pharaoh, let my people go. And we say in the name of the Lord, let these young men and others that I'm represented here today, let them be set free completely. And we give you glory for what you've already done. And we thank you because they are living their lives. They're living a life and they'll be completely fulfilled. They are no longer withdrawn. Their speech is not withdrawn. They have no impairment. Lord, they're shining forth. The Lord losing them completely. And we are going to continue to hear marvelous testimonies. We thank you for their mother, Sue, that's coming to this room to share. And we thank you for Barakat as well. Thank you for testimonies in their family. And there's anyone else that remains in that family that is yet to see the light. We pray for them, Lord, that you will break them out of the prison of darkness. You said the people that sit in darkness have seen a great light. Break them forth out of that place of darkness, Lord. Give them understanding. Hallelujah. Deliver them from the power of Satan. And let them be under the power of God. Let them understand the inheritance that's in the saints. Glory to God. And grant salvation to that family. To the glory and praise of your name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise amen. The Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, everyone, for praying. Yes, I want to thank Sister Renita and Sister Barakat for their testimonies. And Sister Renita mentioned something that I want to say really quickly. Well, she said, Lord, this is the big one. And if you do this for me, I'll never cease to tell everyone how you did it. You alone will get the glory. And I noticed that she's been doing it. In fact, she has told us in this room multiple times. And she's keeping that word of oath between her and the Lord. And you know, that's a good thing to do. You know, never promise the Lord you're going to do something if he does something for you and then you don't do it. You know, God has no pleasure, we are told, in fools. You can read that in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. He said, when you are before the Lord, don't promise something. People are so, you know, hasty, you know, say, look, be not rash with thy mouth and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for he's in heaven and you are here on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Don't say, I will do this and don't do it. He said, look, if you make a vow to the Lord, better do it. Ecclesiastes 5, I'm reading through the first 6 verses. When you make a vow to the Lord, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you have vowed. So basically, you know, if we say, promise the Lord something and we don't do it, that, well, the Lord consider that foolish. And it is better, he said, that thou should not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. So suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. And don't say, well, it was an error, Lord, I forgot. You know, why should God be angry at your voice? And why should he destroy the work of your hands? You know, so let's examine ourselves today. Maybe there is resistance, you know, in the, you know, us making progress in some areas in our lives, but because we had promised God something and we didn't do it. You know, he said, well, why should God resist the work of your hands or destroy the work of your hands? So, you know, let's be careful now and examine yourselves. Everyone that's in the room, did you make a promise to the Lord concerning some situation in your life that if he gave you the breakthrough or the victory or whatever, that you would do this and that? Well, are you doing the this and the that that you promised the Lord? So thank you, Star Renita, for staying with that promise. And I also want to quickly say throughout this series, one of the things we also brought about when we studied the book of, when I brought out some scriptures out of Romans 8, 28 in particular, that says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are be called according to his purpose. One of the things I pointed out and I want to point out again to people to remind us today, in case you forgot or you were not here, it's a reminder that scriptures talks about all things working together. You know, there are many emphases in that verse, about five different key things. You know, about one of them is together. It's not the individual thing taken by itself. You know, some individual thing that we're going through, taken by itself, may be painful, you know, tragic, traumatic, or whatever. But all things taken together will at the end work out for your good because you love the Lord. And, you know, because God has also put a purpose in your life. And as it was said, Sarenita said it a few times, that, you know, there is a purpose to whatever it is that you are going through. And there is a purpose to all of those things that we are going through. And together, God will get us there. All those things will help to work together for you to get to the place where God wants us to be. So we must learn the lessons and for whatever it is that we are passing through. Otherwise, you may have to go back and take the class again. So if you're going through some stuff, what is it that God is trying to teach and ingrain in us? You know, and you must learn that lesson thoroughly, and you must win that battle. And then you move on to the next. And it's not over yet. You climb a few steps, you get to, you know, some landing in the staircase, you pick up a jewel, but then you look up and there's still more steps to climb and you got to climb the next set of stairs. And as you climb, if you drop the thing that you picked up, you got to go back and get it. And the Lord showed me this as a parable of the kingdom on time. You know, so, you know, we got to keep climbing. You got to climb every mountain, climb all those steps, pick up the jewels, and spiritual maturity demands that we carry along with us lessons of the past, and, you know, and not just forget. That's why God sometimes will say, look, you know, remember the things of old, you know, bring them to mind so you don't forget. You know, learn from it and move forward. Praise the Lord. So powerful, powerful shares here this morning so far. And we're not finished yet. There's still plenty more time today for others to share. And we dedicated today's room just for that. So if you're next or you'd like to be next, feel free. And Dr. D, good to have you. I always want to ask you to come to stage when I see you in the room because of the connection that we had 3 or so years ago. So, welcome. And also, Dr. K, welcome to the room as well. It was a pleasure to hear you speak the other day. And the things you mentioned about your friend, Renita, we were so pleased to hear those things. And we welcome you also to the platform. Well, you are here. If either one of you wants to say something, feel free to go ahead, and we'll come back to others as well.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. This is Dr. Key, and I was listening. First of all, I want to thank you for allowing me this opportunity. And I want to thank Sister Renita for opening this forum and opening this door for me. As I'm sitting here and I'm listening to all of the testimonies, I want to share something with all of you. And I hope my mother's life can encourage you all. As I told you all, we lost our mother on January the 2nd. And my mother was blessed to live 97 years. My mother had 16 children. My mother's mother lived to be 106 months old. My grandmother was a praying woman. Her father told her after she had 3 days of education that she could not go to school anymore. She had to basically work with the sharecroppers. So the plantation owner would give them the newspapers, and they would take the newspapers and put the newspapers on the walls of the, I guess, the structure where they were staying. And in staying in that structure, you know, it would keep out the, as they say, the boll weevils or whatever that is, you know, I guess when it came to cotton or what it could have been, bugs. So to make a long story short, my grandmother would see the black writing on this paper, and she knew it meant something because there was a little girl, a white girl, who actually would always read, and she didn't understand what reading meant. So what my grandmother did is fasted and prayed. She fasted and prayed. And God taught my grandmother how to read. My grandmother, before she died, read probably more novels than you and I. My grandmother had a fondness of education. So she supported, they left South Carolina, and she moved to North Carolina. My grandmother would support every school and university that there was. With her own money, she would support the students, and she would also support the exchange students that would come over in Durham, North Carolina. They were at Duke University. Now, my mother, I'm telling you this story for a reason. My mother, after having 16 children, started off as a scrubbing the floors at Duke University. My mother, when she passed, was one of the most decorated director of nursing at Duke University. She was the first black director of nursing at Duke University of Maternal Child Health. My mother went back to college after having 16 children, and it wasn't easy because eight of the children were in school when my mother went back to school. When my mother went back to school, my mother would work from 11 to 7. From 7, she would 11 to 7. Mama would come home, rest for about an hour or two. She would go to North Carolina Central University. Then she would come back home, rest more, and go back to work. In that 4-year period when my mother went to school, my mother ended up graduating magna cum laude. With that said, out of the children, and everybody knows that my family was very affluent in music. Of course, the gospel singer John P. Key is my brother, but all of the children were musically inclined. My mother basically encouraged us. If you're going to understand music, you're going to know, you're going to understand it at its best. I had a brother, when I'm listening to you all, you don't know what God has in store. One of my brothers actually had spinal meningitis when he was a child. Duke University told my mother to take him home to die. My grandmother took my brother. I listened to Sister Renita and listened to all of you. Took him, as they say, in the back of the yard. Looked up and prayed to God. My brother was one of the most, not John, this was another one, Wayne. My brother was one of the most musical geniuses that you will ever meet in the world. He's a genius. He played all over the world for a lot of the greats. I have seen so many miracles in my family, from mom being the first Black Mother of the Year for Durham, North Carolina, from my grandmother receiving a Congressional Medal of Honor with Dr. Dorothy Height and Dr. Ben Carson. It was given to her by Congressman Mel Watts during the early Obama administration era. Then my mother, who was also a presidential honoree, my mother also received a lot of accolades from the city of Durham. The proclamation, my mother, grandmother had a street named after her. What I'm trying to say to all of you is this. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is. If God has something for you, if God has a platform for you, it doesn't matter what the devil tried to deal. It doesn't matter what people say. It does not matter, because you are going to get there. Who would have told you that a woman with a third grade education couldn't read and write, has a street named after her in Charlotte, North Carolina? My mother didn't believe in welfare. My mother made us study. My mother made us work. And my mother made us go to school. When you have 16 children in a family, you don't, now that I'm older and I look back, out of the hundreds and some, and you guys can imagine, of grandchildren, great grandchildren, and so forth and so on. Can you imagine, as I look back, it took nothing but a God for us to be who we turned out to be. And I want to tell all of you, to thank God, dream big, because God is one of the greatest beings ever, and He is the greatest being. It doesn't matter what your needs are, what your expectations are. If it's going to elevate Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. In losing our mother, the devil is trying to slip in a little bit, because you know, at that time, everybody, you know, it's almost like we've had her all of our lives, and now we're alone, but we're not. And I'm so grateful, because every time I want to be sad, it is the teachings of perseverance, knowing who you are, and knowing your God. This has been therapy for me over the last 2 days. I want to say, Sister Renita, make sure I get the messages right on which room to go in. But I just want you all to keep us in your prayers. For those of you all who heard that my brother had been ill, he's doing well. He basically took a break, because if you know, he's been on the road for the last 20 or 30 years and he don't stop. And he has a ministry and a church in Charlotte, and he's still producing music. But we're asking that you keep us in prayer. Keep me prayed up so that I can be healthy and do the things that are right by God, by our communities and our family. I want to thank you all. And I'm going to ask God's richest blessings over all of you, all of your family. And whatever it is in your life you want, whether it's for your children, your family members, or you, don't give up. Keep on keeping on, and know that God is our all. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Beverly. And we're going to pray for your brother. Is that John?
That is correct.
All right. Well, let's lift up her brother, John, and thank God for the blessing, the gifting of God in his life, you know, and he's been doing it over 20, I don't
about
know,
30
20
years.
Something,
about 30
almost
years.
30 years now.
Yeah.
You know, and, he's just about worn out, but the grace of God will sustain him. So let's lift him up in prayer. I want all our prayer warriors that are here to open up their mics and go ahead and also pray for Dr. Beverly too. You know, she also, you know, believe in the Lord, and their mother that passed, you know, the same that there was, you know, left a big hole because of the role that she played in their lives and so forth. But, you know, God will feel all that. So let's open our mics and pray for that family. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of the resurrected Jesus, whose we are, Father. We thank you, Lord, right now, Lord, for covering the Key family, Father. We thank you, Lord, right now for healing broken hearts, Father. We thank you right now, Lord, for healing the body, Father, of Dr. Key and also her brother John, Father. We thank you, Lord, that they will be restored, Father, that you are keeping them, Father, that it is not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, Father, that they will continue to live and for being in you, Father. We thank you, Father, that as I pray, Lord, at that place, let that day, that if you do this for them, they will give you alone the glory, Father. You are the lifter of their head. You are their Jehovah Rapha, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your blood is restoring every tissue, organ, muscle, cell, system, and atom of John's body and Beverly Key's body. In the name of Jesus, Father, we speak against the spirit of infirmity, Father. We curse it at the root, Father. We command, Father, their body to line up with the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus washes them and cleanses them and makes them whole. Lord, we thank you for their deliverance, Father. We thank you, Lord, for their healing. I decree shalom, Father. Nothing missing, nothing broken over them. And I thank you, Lord, for setting the solitary in family. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Before the next speaker speaks, I want to just play a little clip of this song that says, "Don't give up." Don't give up now. You're gonna take wings and fly like an eagle. Just you wait and see. Joy is coming in the morning. Everything's gonna be all right. Yeah. Don't give up now. Stand up and fight for what you know is yours. It's gonna be all right. He'll be there through sunshine or rain. Everything gonna be all right. Well, praise the Lord. Everything's gonna be all right. Don't Give Up by Andre Crouch. I love that song. Now, you know, listen. You know, I heard Dr. Beverly say, look, don't matter what, you know, how it looks now. God's got his hand on your life. He's got a purpose for your life. It's all going to come out. We're going to be, don't give up now. Praise God. And we must keep on believing. Yeah, that's right. Think big. Dream big because your God is big. Hallelujah. And remember, God's able actually to exceed your thinking, to exceed your expectations. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above even all that we can ask or think. So if you can think it, God can outdo it. Now, so think it and believe God. And we want to thank God for everyone that's shared so far. We have room for more testimonies. And if you would like to share, go ahead. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Dr. Beverly. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming to the stage and sharing with us. Praise the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Momiobo, all those here in the States, and afternoon to all those overseas. I just wanted to let Dr. Bev know. Good morning, Dr. Bev. Thanks for coming back on. I'm grateful to have been able to hear your testimonies. Your brother, I just want you to know, played a pivotal role early in my life, in my salvation. Back in the day, I was in the military. I was, I think, from the age of like 19 to 22. I listened to his albums on repeat, especially that Not Guilty album. You know, it was early in my faith walk. I was stationed overseas in Korea part of that time. And God actually let somebody know prior to that, that he was sending me into the wilderness, you know, to go get to know him better. And that's what happened when a pastor came to a prayer meeting when I was at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He said, God is sending you into the wilderness. And then I ended up being on orders to Korea. And Korea was when I had to kind of stand on my own faith. And I got to learn more about the Kojic Black American Church, the Church of God in Christ. I, you know, got a hold of some Minister John P. Key's music. And it really, really just helped to bolster my faith walk. So I thank God for his life. That man helped me a lot. And I'm trusting God for his healing, his full recovery. Alexis and I were talking about it at work, how we love his music, and we were just singing, remember this album, remember that. So God bless you, Dr. Bev. Thank you so much. God bless your brother and your family. Thank God for your mother. I am on mic.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Pearl, for sharing that. You know, we'll probably play one of his music one of these days. All right. Thank you again, everyone. If you'd like to share, go ahead and do so.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to, I'm sorry. I just need to take a moment to praise the Lord. I mean, what powerful testimonies. I'm just sitting there. Sister Renita, your story is just riveting. All of them. Dr. Beverly, Sister Baraka, Sister Sue, oh my goodness, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. I need to take a moment and just praise the Lord, and I need you all to help me praise the Lord. I need you to open your mouth and praise the Lord with me.
Thanks,
because
God.
I don't have 10,000 tongues.
Thank you, Jesus.
I am one, and I need you.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen. My God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping me. Psalms 34 said, my God, Psalm 34 said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We sought him. He heard us and he delivered us from all our fears. My God, they look unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. He said, they that put their trust in the Lord will not be ashamed. My God, hallelujah. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. We just heard all the testimonies. All of them have called upon the Lord, and the Lord has saved them. The Lord has delivered. The Lord abandoned. He said, he said, if you put your trust in me, you will not be disappointed. And those testimonies have testified this morning. They have put their trust in the Lord, and he has come through, and he does every time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The song say, how I got over my soul, look back and wonder how I got over. And it was Jesus, hallelujah. Through it all, my shakate, he has brought us through, my sakere. Maya too said, David said in Psalm 119, I, my shakere, in my heart, 7 times a day, I will bless the Lord, Makiata. Why? Because he continually doing great and mighty things. Things we have seen and things we have not seen, and things that came out that is to come. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. So our focus should always be on the Lord. No matter what the enemy is trying
meant to do. My God, hallelujah. We have known that he has overcome. My God, hallelujah. We, Jesus said, I have overcome the world and so can you. Hallelujah. So there's nothing the enemy can do. My God, Asata, he has been defeated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The scripture says he's gone as a roaring lion, seeking as a kasata. Bakiete, because Sid Patana, because he is not. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we praise him this morning. Those testimonies. Oh my God, just bless my soul. My God, thank you, Jesus. Sister Renita, you need to write a book about your story and you need to make a movie. They need to make a movie about that story, my God, because it will just, oh, my shatate, bokote, bring so many hope to so many. Ambare, to rabakatata, ibe satarabaha. My God, thank you, Jesus. And say it is over, but he said, no, it's not over. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. And verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. My God, overcome. Seek him. Sakato rakatata. No matter what, as Pastor Yato's been preaching and sharing on those series, my God, the Lord is preparing us and is showing us, and the testimonies are coming through, hallelujah, to see who God is more clearly, hallelujah, because he said, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploit, katara. So, bayata te kusata, and the word is coming forth in the testimonies, we are seeing who God truly is, hallelujah. He is the Almighty, my God, Almighty God, Yahweh, Mashalakate. Oh, Sakata Nimekete, my God, thank you, Jesus. Verse 11 said, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord, the reverence and the praise. Hallelujah. Mr. Nefamaya, that's what that fear means, El Sapa, is the reverence and the praise and the worship. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What man is he that desire life and love many days that he may see good, my God. Keep that tongue from evil and our lips from speaking guile. How do you do that? By always praising him. My God, overcome. Overcome all things. Overcome evil. Overcome mashata. Overcome tearing one another. Overcome, my God. Hallelujah. Overcome sickness. Overcome mashikatala. My God, hallelujah. We give him praise this morning. We give him glory this morning. Hallelujah. My soul is full after hearing all these testimonies. Thank you, Lord. My God, hallelujah. You can finish with the others by yourself. And I want to share this other one in Revelation 3:21. I love that. This is what he says to those who overcome. My God, as we are hearing the testimonies and the message. My God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am just so full. I don't know what to do this morning. Pastor Yato, it's just so hard some morning after your teaching to go to work. I'm telling you, it is so hard some morning. I'm running late for work some morning because I can't come out of it. I can't satara. I can't come out of my sare, makiata. I can't come out. I can't come out of that. But shetan mahaya, the teaching, the speaking of the Lord, because he said his word give life. My God, it gives me life and it just hold me still. It just hold us in this moment. My God, thank you, Jesus. So God is so wonderful. So, Revelation 3:21. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, oh God. My God, everyone he does is the big one, Sister Renita. Oh my God. Yes, the big one. Oh my God, he has done so many big ones. You know, all of them is the big one. All of them. My God, thank you, Jesus.
So 321, so therefore I will always worship and bless him at all times. 321 says, my God, to him that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, my God, hallelujah, and I am sit down with my Father in his throne. What great reward. Hallelujah. 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 I was thinking about that all day yesterday. To them that overcome everything. Overcome. Because he said in John, I think 16:33, he said, I myself have overcome the world. Because he has weakened too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so I'm grateful. You know, I never told my whole testimony. I always like, you know, bits and little pieces. But my life, I was born in Haiti and raised in an orphanage. And somebody out of nowhere came to the country for a wonderful purpose and saw me and said that when they went back home, they couldn't forget me. Because this is the God that I serve. How can I praise him where so many other children are wishing and hoping. And he has done it for me. Ah, Sakata. Oh, Sakate. This is why I cannot start praising him, because I can't stop when I start. I am so grateful for him because he brought me out of that orphanage and he has planted my feet and he has blessed me so beyond recognition. And I'm so grateful to my God. And they said, the song, I've never seen this God. Oh, I've never seen this God. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Who's like him? Who's like thee among the gods doing wonders in the land? Oh, I need to stop there, because if I don't, I'll just keep going. And others have more testimonies. I just want to thank you for listening to me. I just want to encourage you to keep praising the Lord. You just heard all those powerful testimonies. And God is continually doing things in our life. And he's saying to us, overcome, overcome, overcome. So you can sit right with me. Hallelujah. And I bless each and every one of you. And I thank God for Pastor Yato and Mom Ibam. And I thank God for this room. And I thank God for every last one of you who have not held your peace, but you have been testifying. God bless you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I yield my mind.
Amen. Amen. Fire. Sister Santan, she can bring fire down in the house anytime. Praise God. I love the prophetic voice. Praise God. God bless you, Sister Santan. Always so fiery. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful what the Lord is doing here today? Now, let me play just a short clip for you to enjoy one of gospel singer John P. Key's songs. You just play 1 or 2 minutes of it. This one is I Made It Up, and you can make it out too. You know, we can all overcome. Praise the Lord. I'm
Yes. Yes. I made it out all right. He did not forsake me. And you're going to make it out all right as well. He is not going to forsake you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you pass through the fire, I will be there with you. When you pass through the floods, I'll be there with you as well. The floods will not drown you. The fire will not kindle upon you. I'll bring you out of there. You will make it out. Praise the Lord. There'll be some in this room that can say today, I made it out. Hallelujah. Did you make it out? Well, let me tell it to you this way. You will make it out. That's right. It's going to be all right. Don't give up now and don't give in. Just you wait and see. It's going to be all right. The crown of glory is coming upon you. And you have, you know, and I think it was Dr. Bev that said it. She said, look, even if it's going to be for his glory, he'll bring it to pass. And that's the key thing. So let's look to him for his glory. Hallelujah. Remember what I've said many times in this room. The word of God is his bond and his name is his reputation. You know, when that name of the Lord is at stake, he's going to stand behind it and bring himself glory, get himself renowned for his own name's sake. So let's hang in there. Trust the Lord. Lift your head up. Let the King of glory come in. Be encouraged because he is with you. Deuteronomy 31 and 8 says, it is the Lord thy God. He it is that doth go with you. Therefore, you know, don't be discouraged. Don't despair. Don't be dismayed and fear not. He's right there with you. Praise the Lord. Ah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful shares this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you everyone for sharing. We have some short, you know, few minutes left. If anybody still wants to shout out to the Lord, go ahead. Praise the Lord.
Hey, Pastor Yatawa. Oh, Sister Mary, please go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll be really quick. I'll try to be really quick. I'm just really encouraged by the room this morning, Pastor Yato, Mommy Ebu, and everyone who has shared. Sister Renita, Auntie Renita, as I call you. Sister Barakat, Sister Sue, Dr. Keith, thank you so much for sharing your testimonies. As I was listening to your testimony, Auntie Renita, it just even reminded me and just gave me, there's so many like similarities and just glimpses of what, you know, my wife and I passed through on our pregnancy journey. And I won't really bore us here, I'll say, with the story right now, but I'm just even remembering how, you know, God gave us her name of hope, right? And Sister Santan just mentioning that that is very prophetic, right? And I'm hearing this resounding theme this morning throughout this series of hope, of hope, of hope, of hope, right? And I just want to remind us of Hebrews 10 and 23, where it says that we should hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I just believe that just if there's one thing that we should walk away with, it's just hope. We should walk away with hope that we have overcome, that we are overcoming. I was so encouraged, Sister Sue, by the shares of your sons. I believe you said it's Aliyu. And I'm scrolling for his name.
Camille.
Camille, yes. And just thanking God. And just, I'm just so in awe of his work, right? You know, when when we are told that, oh, your child may not read or may not write or may not do this, but then otherwise, but God, right? But we have faith and we can have a hope to say, no, I don't believe that. I am not standing in agreement with that, but this is what I'm believing and this is what I'm standing on. And as we were praying, it's just as the Spirit of God was putting on my heart, and I said that your children, Sister Sue, your sons will be men that declare your word, that they will declare your word to those around them. They will declare your word to people around them, right? That God will use them in a very mighty way, right? In Exodus chapter 8, it talks about how, so this is when God sent Moses to say, bring out my people, go to Pharaoh to tell them to bring out my people. And in Exodus 8, it talks about how the magician said that this is the finger of God that is performing these works, right? Scripture says that he revealed his signs and wonders to the children of Israel, right? But these ways to Moses. And it says that the finger of God has performed these works. So I say to us, how much more God's hand, right? How much more God's hand in our life when we hope, when we trust, when we have faith, right? So I'm saying to you, Sister Sue, and to us, Lord, that, you know, God can do these things and that he will do these things. He just even reminded me of Ezra in Ezra 7 and verse 10, I believe it is, where it says that Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to the teaching, its decrees, and the laws in Israel. That's what just came to my heart, what God put on my heart, Sister Sue, as, you know, I was praying, we were praying for you, we were praying for your children. So I hope that is encouraging. I hope you're still here listening in. Just take heart, everyone. Have hope. Keep hope. I rest the mic there. Love you all.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for sharing that. You know, it's a powerful thing, you know, never to give up hope, you know. And, you know, when we hope in the Lord and hope in his word, well, in a word do I hope, said the psalmist. And then that develops into faith and believing. And then we'll see that come to pass. And as you were sharing that, you know, I was reminded of this scripture in Zechariah, you know, chapter 9, you know, and talks about prisoners of hope and what the Lord is going to do, you know, just for them having, you know, the hope that the Lord will render better things. He said, turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render the double unto you. You know, when I should have bent, when I would have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim and raised up thy sons, O Zion, you know, and so forth. And then the Lord said, I'll come against the, you know, the enemy too, as a sort of a mighty man. And then the Lord shall be seen over you, and his arrows shall go forth as lightnings. The Lord God shall blow the trumpet and go like whirlwinds of the south. And that's Zechariah chapter 9, verses 11 through about 14. Prisoners of hope. As we hope in the Lord, well, you know, through his word, we cling on to that hope. It'll bring forth faith in our hearts. And by believing, we will get there. Thank you so much, Brother Anno, for sharing. Praise the Lord. All right, looks like Sister Maggie was trying to speak at the same time. You know, so go ahead, Sister Maggie.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor Yaro. Good morning, Lady Evon. I really bless the Lord for today. I'm encouraged and lifted. I thank God for the series. I'm so grateful to the Lord, and I give him all the glory. Yeah. I would like to continue tomorrow because I have a couple of things that I wanted to ask and say. So thank you so much, everyone that has shared today, listening to the Holy Spirit. You have been great blessings, and the Lord will reward you too. You will not lose your reward. Thank you, everyone. So I yield my mic, sir. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Maggie. Praise the Lord. All right. We got a few more minutes, one more person to share, and after that, we'll be closing. Remember, it's a daily room, so by the grace of God, we'll be back again. And Saturday, tomorrow will be Saturday. By the grace of God, we'll have time to just relax and share more. So if you don't get a chance today, come back tomorrow, and we'll share some more. Praise the Lord. All right. I'll take one more before we close.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma. Good morning, everyone. And good afternoon. I just want to read this scripture in 1 Peter 4:12-14. 14a of verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." 14a. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, appear ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you." I also would want to read out some of the lyrics of Andre Crouch's song, "Through It All." And that is the summary of my testimony. I have many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials came to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Verse 2 says, "You see, now I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I never know God could solve them. I'd never known what faith in his word could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus." This song in particular had always ministered to me, because looking back, it's been good. It's been bad. It's been gray. It's been bright. And I give God all the glory. All the glory, all the thanksgiving. I actually want to talk about my husband's ill health and how far God has taken us. Sometimes last year, especially December 2022, it was a tug of war. When we are waking up, we don't know where we will be in the day. It was a case of hemorrhage from his right nose. And once he starts, he can feel a cup, at least a teacup, thick blood just flowing. And sometimes when he's waking up, it comes, sometimes during the day. And it was a tug of war. Things were going down the drain. Looking back, I looked at everything. He took ill in June 2022. I finished my course, my studies in July. But he was in the hospital for the period I was still tidying up my course. Because when I looked at everything, if not that God knows it all, it would have truncated all that I set up to do for about five years. But in it all, I saw the finger of God, and I know it has to be Him. It has to be Him. It has to be Him. And all through, with all those sicknesses, one thing or the other, one thing or the other comes up. This is that gold nice. That one comes up. And it's not, the mind wasn't really there. I mean, the mind wasn't settled. When it comes, it's either calling 911, 999, and so many things. But in it today, I can say the Lord, who is the faithful Father, the Creator, the King, the Lord, the greatest physician, our friend, our beauty, the glory, the one who lifts up our head, has brought him into a great shape that I cannot thank him enough for. Food that he can't take, things he can't do on his own. God has just been too good. Too good. In the past, he might not even be able to lift up a pail. Not able to. And God has done so wonderful, even in doing some of the bits that he couldn't do. The food, it has to come off a couple of it. But today, you will take anything, and God has just been too good. I cannot thank him enough because I know the depth of it for more than a year. We're at it. The doctor will say, okay, it's this one, it's that one. Okay, go off completely of this. But today, today, God, the Creator, the one who owns the warehouse of all our spare parts, who had numbered them, had restored unto him. And I give him all the glory. It pays to serve Jesus, and that I know in my heart. And one other thing I have also learned, through the difficult period, he was blessing us. He was blessing, he was doing things that we feel, can these things be? Not in related to his health. He was making a way in other areas. And what a father we have, a great God. Because when those things were on, more difficult things were coming up. But God took us through. He made us to be overcomers. He made us to have landmarks that we can always refer to and say, God did this, he can do it again. He will do it over and over and over again because he's the King, the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And one other scripture that we read is in Job 23:10. It says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knows how he's going to heat up that fire, that refiner's fire. He will do it. And at the end of the day, he will take us through and bring us unto his glory, unto that stature which he wants us to be. And that is that final point we should be looking at. I give him all the glory. I give him all the praise. I give him all the worship because I cannot thank him enough. He knows the depth of my heart. Apart from that, he's taught me a lot. Sometimes when things come up, just like yesterday, an issue cropped up, came up, and God says, pray first. Initially, I wanted to get it. He said, pray first. And as soon as he said that, and I prayed, the whole bit went. And in it, he's making me, pointing me out, do this, do that. Take this step, take this one. And it's nice to know you have a friend who is ever there, who will teach you the way to go, who will guide you, who you know his hand is more than sufficient to carry you all through. Because he has promised there in Isaiah 41, he said, he will hold my hand. And he's always saying, fear not, I will hold your right hand. And indeed, my Father has always been there. I give him all the glory. I thank God for this platform. We might not be able, I might not be able to explain it, but I know to what extent God has helped us to heal and to help us to stand, and also taught us a lot. I give him all the glory for the obedience of Pastor and Mommy Ebon. It's God in your lives, and I give God all that glory. To him alone be all the praise forevermore. It pays to serve Jesus, and that I know. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you all, everyone.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Star Veronica, were you saying something? Oh, what happened to her? Okay. All right. Well, thank you everyone for all of your shares. So powerful this morning. Thank you everybody for being here. If you're enjoying the room, let's give the glory to God and invite others as well. You know, share the link to the room, share the information about the room so that they themselves can come and enjoy fellowship with us. And that's how the word of God will grow and will multiply. So I want to just thank everybody for joining us today. We're going to be closing the room now. And don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow by the grace of God. Same time in the mornings, 5 a.m. Arizona, 6 Central, 7 a.m. in the U.S. And of course, for our brethren in the UK, 12 noon in Nigeria and West Africa, 1 p.m. And we'll see you, again, tomorrow, by the grace of God. So enjoy, your day, and God bless you. And the room will be closing. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow by the grace of God.